So it's good to see you this morning. I know it's a cold day, and I know that it's still some ice all around, but it's great to see you here today in God's house to worship Him. I'm glad to be here on the first Sunday of the new year. How about you? Amen? Some churches canceled their service, but I'm glad to be here to experience God, and that's what we're dealing with right now. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, we will continue dealing with this subject, the activity of God's presence, part 2. The activity of God's presence, part 2. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, everlasting Word. Pay close attention to this reading. There's some great truth here. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law or my words, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they and to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thy find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I believe the Holy Spirit's always in attendance to the word of God being read. And now I pray the Holy Spirit would anoint us all today, that we would give you our undivided attention, that God, we will acknowledge the presence of the Lord God Almighty in our midst today. You are here. And I pray that we will acknowledge that, and we will worship that, and we will recognize the fact that you are wanting to do something great and significant in our lives in 2018. And we'll give you all the glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Heard the story one time of the mascot for the Duke Blue Devils playing a trick. So he thought, well, I'm just going to interrupt church one Sunday. And so he wore his outfit as the devil. He runs in the church, and the church runs out. Everybody runs out of the building because the devil just walked in. Except one old man. He's sitting at the very front of the church. He's in his 90s, and he's been in the church all those years, and he's like a good Baptist. I shall not be moved. So the devil went up and sat right beside him and said, why didn't you run out like everybody else? Didn't you know I'm the devil? He said, aren't you scared of me? He said, no, I'm not scared of you. I've been married to your sister for 60-some years. So, you know what? How we react at the presence of one called the devil, what about how would we react to the presence of one called Jesus? What if Jesus walked into the building? What if God showed up here today? Well, look up here, folks. He did. He came in when you came in. Did you know Jesus lives in you? And if Jesus lives in you and Jesus lives in me, when we walked in here today, I know this is a building, but the presence of the Lord is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. And oftentimes we focus on people, listen to me carefully, maybe who are not here, then we focus on the Lord who is here. You know, we pastors are guilty for that. Well, I wonder where so-and-so's today. We should be more focused on the presence of the Lord than the absence of the people. Hello? Now, I want you to think about your life for a moment. And I want you to think, are you living your life to the fullest? Are you living your life to the potential? You say, well, of course not. But why aren't you? Now, think with me. Are you listening? A lot of folks have just settled for a settle for life. When you've got the all mighty power of a living God living in you. The Word of God, it says He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, if He can do all that He says He can do, why is He not doing it? Why aren't we seeing God work in our day? We need to see ourselves in His presence all the time. We haven't fully experienced God's presence in our life because we haven't been actively seeking His presence. In other words, we only seek God's presence when we find ourselves in a tight spot or when we want something. Why do we act the way we act? We act this way because we haven't become completely convinced that God's presence is the only thing that can really help us and strengthen us and help us through the good times and the bad times. Not just when we're going through some difficulty, but the fact of that God is with you all the time. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. How should we seek God's presence in 2018? Number one, listen to me carefully. We're going back over what we dealt with last week, but we're going deeper today. Number one, it's all about a relationship. Some people are seeking religion in coming to church. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. That's the difference between Christianity and other religions. Christianity is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. Notice what he said in verse 5. That's what I dealt with last week. Verse 5, trust in the Lord. God's goal is to bring you into a relationship with Himself. One of the saddest indictments of today's church is that Christians often settle for just some kind of religion rather than a relationship that will communicate to you and others that you're walking in the power and presence of God. God wants you to learn to trust Him even when you can't trace Him. He knows what He's doing. Why do we find it so difficult to trust Him? It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to preach about it. But why do we find such difficulty? One reason is that we don't know Him well enough to trust Him. To know God is to love God. To love God is to trust God. To trust God is to obey God. And to obey God is to be blessed with the presence of God. To trust Him. Oh, we will see what He can do. You see, we can trust in ourselves or we can trust in others. Who are you trusting in 2018? Another problem we have is that we can't let go of the situation in which we need to trust God. That's powerful. Think about it. We want to do it ourselves. But in order to be successful, we must turn everything over to Him. If He's worth part of it, then He's worth all of it. In other words, giving it all to Him. As the old song says, for the favor He shows and for the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. So how does all this happen? The activity of God's presence. It's in a relationship called love. Love. With all thy heart. You see that in verse 5? With all thy heart in verse 1, he says. Let thy heart, he says. God desires a deep, intimate love relationship with you. God's plan is not a roadmap for 2018. Are y'all listening? It's not a roadmap. It's a relationship. It would be great, wouldn't it, if God told you everything that was going to happen in 2018. By the way, look up here. God knows every detail, every little thing that's going to happen in 2018. Now, if He was to give you a roadmap, you could, you know, go the wrong way if you didn't read the map right. Or you could just walk in a relationship with God. Amen? I'd rather be in a relationship. Amen? Remember the illustration I gave you last week about the soldier? The soldier who knew where all the landmines were? Remember that? And so you would say to this intelligent soldier, he knew where all the landmines were, well, I'm just going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. And the soldier like, really? You want to do that? No. What you would want to do, you'd want to stay just as close to that soldier as you could get. Amen? I mean, you'd want to walk where he walks. Why? Because he knows where all the landmines are. Listen, folks, God knows all the problems of 2018 already. And there will be problems in 2018. But if you know the problem solver, if you know the one who knows where the landmines are, you would be wise to stay in a close relationship with Him. Amen? And I promise you, on the authority of this book, He knows. He knows all things. And we need to know Him better in 2018. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus said it best in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my words. Perhaps the solution to our tendency to disobey God is not trying harder in 2018, but loving more. We all are taught, try harder, do better, live a better life. I've got a better challenge, love more. Amen? Instead of trying to work so hard, I've heard people, I've said it myself, I'm going to live for God if it kills me. No, it could kill you. God don't want you to die. He wants you to live for Him. And He wants to wants you to live in a love relationship. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what God's all about. If you want to define who God is, love. 1 John chapter 3, it says, God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Perhaps an intimate relationship with Jesus, one in which we live and move and have our being in Him in every aspect of our life, is the very key to our obedience, because we do it out of love. I don't sing in this choir because I'm trying to impress someone or trying to show my talent. I do it because I love Jesus. Amen. I don't come to this church for anybody else. I come because I've got a relationship with a living God, and I love Jesus, and I'm here because I love Him today. I'm so proud that you do love the Lord, and you're here today to strengthen that relationship, to grow in it. The second word, if you're going to grow in that relationship and understanding the activity of God's presence, is you got to learn to listen. And you know, that's one prayer I've asked you to pray for me. I want to be a good listener. How about you? What if we were learn to listen? Notice what he says in verse 5. Lean not to thy own understanding. When you're in a love relationship with someone, you know their voice. I said this last week. When Sherry calls me on the phone, she don't have to say, "This is your wife, Sherry." No, I know her voice. And when Sherry speaks in my life, everybody listens. Okay? When Sherry says something, and I'll be honest with you, I'm very sincere now, I'm not joking. When she says something, I pay special attention to it. And I really do try to follow what she's asking me to do because I'm in a love relationship with her. I've got something going on with this woman. I do. I'm in a love relationship, so I listen to her. That might be good for some of you kids. You say you love mommy, you love daddy, then listen to them and do what they tell you to do. They're looking after you. They really are. Well, I like going out playing in the road. Well, mommy and daddy knows that's not good for you. Well, I like texting some boy older than I am. And mom shuts you down, dad shuts you down. I like doing my own thing. You know, your parents, they have a responsibility to look after you, okay? And we need to trust them. Just like we need to trust God. It's a love relationship. It's a relationship that we learn to listen. When you're in a relationship with someone, you know when they speak. By the way, I talked about this last week, and you just don't know because you're not me. But when my mom spoke when I was growing up, you best listen. I'm telling you something. I was in some kind of special relationship with this woman too. And I could tell you some stories how that leaning to your own understanding will not work. Because sometimes she would call, and I would be stubborn and say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what? She applied to the seed of understanding what she was trying to say when she called me the first time. Because my mom, this is the way she always was. She said, I'm not going to do it twice. It didn't work in my house. Once you said it once, that was it. And you suffered. It was never, I'm warning you, or I never understood 1, 2, 3. I never understood what it meant to sit in the corner. I never had a corner in my house. I never knew what it was. All I knew was this. You best listen when she calls. I could have been leaning on my own understanding and thought, I don't need to obey my mom's voice. And she every time she did this, she would tell you in a heartbeat, then I can apply some understanding to your seat. So when she called out, you best start running home, or the consequences of disobedience was applied to the seat of understanding. And God knows how to do that too. If we don't learn, listen to me, if we don't learn to listen to God in 2018, I'm going to tell you something. God can get our attention. I sort of found it humorous this morning, especially coming from Sherry. She said, well, you know, someone that lays in their bed on Sunday morning, they might end up laying there longer than they want to lay there. You know, we can get lazy about serving God. But you know what? It pays to listen to God. Can I say it again? It really pays to listen to God. You want to have a good life in 2018, be a good listener. And whatever God tells you to do, you obey what He tells you to do. I'm telling you something. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We as individuals and as a church perish when we lean to our own understanding and we're not listening and obeying God. And the third word is a very important word, I believe, is loyalty. You know, when you love someone, you're true to them. I mean, really. A man or a woman who is not faithful to their husband and wife, and they say, I love you, they're lying. They don't love you if they're not loyal to you, right? Loyalty goes a long ways, and certainly in God's eyes. Look in Proverbs 3:6, he says, in all thy ways. The Hebrew word there, I looked it up, is derek, and it means a path to take, a way of life. Your conduct. Do you know the ways of God, or do you just operate in the energy of the flesh? I see so many people who they don't know how to walk in the Spirit. All they know is to walk in the flesh. And you know what? It's happening today. And that's why I was trying to do this parenting conference and this marriage seminar and all. I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what? There's more disloyalty than ever. You know, this is the attitude going on today. Well, yeah, I married you as long as things are going good. But when things go bad, you know what a lot of young people decide to do? Well, I'm going to get out of this relationship. They go into another relationship and another relationship and another relationship. And after about five times being married, you reckon they get the picture that they may be the problem? I mean, God help us. I'm going to tell you something. Loyalty, according to God's word, is all about a relationship, being loyal to the one who's called you, being faithful to him. What you need to know is that you are not called to surrender to a pitiful, pale religion, but to a powerful, personal, present Lord. He is worthy of our loyalty. He is worthy of this relationship. We're not in a religion with him. We're in a relationship with him. Do I need to say more? Second of all, where I really want to get to today, I love this word, remember. It is important for us to remember the activity of God in our church. It's very important we remember. Notice what he says in verse 6. Acknowledge him. Look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3 of Proverbs. Forget not my law. Forget not. And then he says, let not mercy in verse 3 and truth forsake thee. Bind thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. Reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, where God says, he's given us the original word here to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then he says this, write it on your hand. Listen to this, because the Jews took this literally, and it was meant literally. Put it in a box between thy eyes, and they did. They put it between their, let me show you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I can read it, but I can tell it to you. 6:8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thy eye. And he's talking about here, keeping the word of God. I'm telling you something, friend. God knows what is best for his children. And the best thing for us to do is that we would remember and keep his word in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. So first thing I want to talk about in remembering is God's provision. The truth is, you can rarely afford to obey what God ever asked you to do. And that's true for Gord Springs Baptist Church. We cannot afford a new building. That's the truth. You can rarely afford to obey what God asks you to do because he wants you to rely on his provision and not yours. Are y'all following me? The question is not, can we afford to obey? The crucial question is, can we afford not to obey? Now think about that. When we step out in faith, he is always faithful to provide what is needed. God has never asked anyone to do anything that he wouldn't make a way. Think about your life for a moment. Think about it. Whatever God has called you to do, friend, the promise is he qualifies you. He's not looking for your abilities. He's looking for your availability. You make yourself available to God, and he'll provide everything you need to do that. That's God's provision. And most churches, I'm sorry to say, they've never really learned. In fact, most leaders, deacons and finance committees, and I've worked with these people for 40 years, they rely so much on their business side of thinking, they miss God's provision. And I know it's easier to think about business when it comes to the way we think as human beings, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God's work, God does things not according to our thoughts or our ways. He does it His way. Amen. And I want to tell you what God is after. God is after getting all the glory. You see, as long as you and I can do it, we get all the glory, right? I mean, if we wait, we could say, well, we're going to wait and build this building when we get enough money. Or we can go ahead and step out on faith and say, God's going to provide. Now, you choose which way you want to go. The business side says, well, let's wait till we get all the money. Or we can go the way the Bible teaches and follow God's direction and trust Him. It's called faith, and the Bible says faith without works is dead, and maybe that's why we got a lot of dead churches today. Can we afford not to obey? When we step out in faith, He's always faithful to provide. Too often I've watched churches wait for a more convenient, affordable time to obey God, but that time never comes. I love this verse, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. In the context of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you see verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, which way do you want to go? You want to take God at His word, or you want to take man at His word? God says, your barns shall burst out, shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Remember, look for this. And this is something my wife has helped me. And this old boy needs to have a change of attitude quite often. This will change your whole outlook. Here's what she's challenged me for years. Ronnie, look for your blessings of the day and don't focus on the burdens of the day. Oh, it's so easy to get down and get focused on the burdens, but I love what Sherry reminds me. She said, you need to look for God's blessings. And when you look for God's blessings, they're all over the place. Amen. I woke up this morning saved. Amen? I mean, I slept in a warm bed last night. How about you? Look at the blessings of God. And when you begin to think of all that God has provided for us, we'll have a spell before breakfast. Amen? God's provision. That's who our God is. And then God's power. What is the power? What's the benefit of remembering? Notice what He says in verse 2 of Proverbs. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It would be wise for us to remember God's power. Peace is not the absence of storms, but the presence of God in the midst of the storm. Peace is not the absence of storms, but God's presence in the midst of the storm. You remember the song, We Will Remember? I was going to have him put it up on the screen today, but this goes real good with my point I'm making about power. There's no connection to the screen today. Harvey looked at it. He said to me a minute ago, he said, Pastor, there's no power there. Without power, you're not going to get anywhere. I'm thankful there's still power in the blood. I'm thankful that I serve an all-powerful God, and nothing's too hard for Him. Y'all remember the song, We Will Remember? It goes, we will remember. Y'all going to help me with it? We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise for great. Y'all do remember it. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort. Our joy. And by the way, did you know that in the presence of the Lord, there is always joy? Oh, I'm sorry. Got a little bit carried away. Don't be sorry. I don't want to mess up y'all, but I think there ought to be a lot of joy in God's house. Yeah. Amen. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace, Our peace in the midst of the storm, because he's right there. It's not that you're not going to have storms in 2018, but you are going to have the presence of God. He's going to show up. With signs and wonders, you've shown what? Your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life. No end. Oh, I remember. How about y'all? I want to remember. I want to remember the works of his hands. I want to stop right now. I want to stop right now and give him praise. Right here at Gord Springs Baptist Church. And I didn't give you even half of it last week. I'm going to give you some more. We need to stop and give God praise for 2017. We saw 38 new converts baptized in this church in 2017. In 2017, Nancy, there were 23 professions of faith in Vacation Bible School. Jeff and Judgment House, there were 79 people who made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That comes to a grand total of 137 people who came to Christ because of this ministry. Judgment House, Vacation Bible School, and this church. We ought to give God praise. Amen? I mean, that was sort of light. It ought to be some serious praise going on here for what God's doing. Oh, that, I'm not done yet. Five new ministries were started through this church in 2017. 483 new contacts were made by our visitation teams in 2017. 150 what, Harvey? 56. 156 shoeboxes at an estimated cost to the church of about $4,000 was given by this church and delivered by the Faith Riders Ministry. And that's another ministry we see God working in our church. Our church saw God working so that $200,000 could be moved from the general fund to the building fund to help start the new Family Life Center. I estimated that a minimum that our church gave toward missions was $28,000 to local and foreign missions. That's not counting the $6,000 given to revivals and gospel sings through love offerings. Two marriage retreats with 136 participants took place in 2017, and God provided all the food, all the materials, and all the supplies at absolutely no cost to the church or to the participants who were here. A plumbing company recently was called to repair a septic system here at the church with a cost of almost $500 for labor and parts, and the plumber said, I'd like to donate it all to the church. You know, when I see things like that happening, I know that's the presence of God. Amen. I mean, we need to talk about that. We need to acknowledge that. Our student ministry was sort of out of it, and they were discouraged. But God showed up through his church to show love and support for the students at a spaghetti dinner. And over $1,200 was given to the students to go to Winterfest. And last weekend, at a cost of $4,300, they went to Winterfest, to all 23 of them, and every penny was provided. Amen. I want you to see that. Over 200 people viewed our last worship service online. Our mission team ministered to public school teachers and Christian school teachers by praying over and giving out a large number of bags of blessings. If that's not enough, 175 people were fed on Thanksgiving Day from our church by our mission team. Then the next day, our mission team who prepared the Thanksgiving meals on Thursday, went to Charlotte on Friday to pack shoeboxes for Christmas Child. 53 people received food from our church's food pantry in 2017. A widow lady's car, who's not even a member of our church, and her lawnmower was broken, but they were repaired by two of our deacons. And then three other deacons built a new railing for Miss Christine Gonia. And I still got in here. That's not even half of what God's done in 2017. I do think this. I think Gord Springs Baptist Church needs to focus and talk about the activity of the presence of God and not waste our time or our energy talking about anything else. If we would focus on the great things that God's doing, the positive, and never even mention a negative word, amen, this church will thrive. Amen. It will. But if we focus on all this wrong, we'll never get anything accomplished in our lives or in our church. Amen? Oh, it's so easy for us to remember all the things. Oh, so-and-so treated me wrong, so-and-so. I'm not going to go back to that church. So I don't come to this church because somebody treated me wrong or treated me right. I come because I'm in a relationship, and I've got to remember that I am to be loyal to him. Amen? We've already talked about God's provision, God's power. And then we want to talk about God's presence. Yes, I really believe we've got to get focused right. Verse 4, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Matthew 1:23, I read this last week. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The number one priority of a church is to welcome, nurture, and concentrate on the presence of the living God being active among us. God knows when he and his presence is more important than all these material things around us. And when God knows that he and his presence is more important in our lives, his promise is all these other things will be taken care of. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Folks, it's a dangerous thing to move away from what God has called you to do. Amen. I'd be scared to death to get out of the ministry. I think God could kill me. I want to stay faithful. I want to experience God's presence. You want God's presence in your life? Then live a life of obedience. Do what God has called you to do. And do not base your decision on what anybody else is doing. May it be said at the end of the day, at the end of your life, that you were faithful to serve God. Amen. We got to learn to finish well. We've got God's presence. We need to make a big thing about the activity of the presence of God in our church, because God is doing some great things. Can I get an amen? He is a big God, and I'm so proud of Gorge Springs, because as we approached the last quarter, boy, our church really stepped it up, and I saw ministry like I've never seen it. And I've made the statement right here from this pulpit that we are being the church. We're not just going to church. We're being the church. And I'd rather be a part of a church that's being a church than just going to church. Anybody can fill a pew. Anybody can just go to church. I want to see the activity of the presence of God. And I see that here. God is, I'll tell you, there's a song. Oh, we used to sing this all the time. The church I was in for 25 years. And I want us to learn this song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Y'all know it? Y'all know that? Y'all know that? Let's sing it. Oh, that's a challenge. I don't know if I remember the words. Let's try it. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence. Whew, I feel that. He's here. Surely. Yeah, you can go on. But we have that. Have we sung that here? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Give me the next verse. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory in his face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Go ahead. Is that it? That's it. I'm telling you something. When you acknowledge, when you recognize, when you know that God is with you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? I mean, folks, we've got the power. We've got the presence. We've got the provision. What more do you need from God? Hello? He's your provision. He's your power. He is very present with you. I don't know what we're waiting on, but the last thing is the revelation of it all. And that's the activity of God's presence. And how does all this happen in you? Notice what he says. I love this prompt. This is a promise in verse 6. The last part says, and he shall. He didn't say he might hope, think. He says, and he shall direct thy paths. Would you like to know more about how God would direct your path in 2018? Sure you would. Number one, spiritual senses is what I call it. Spiritual senses. Preacher, what are you talking about? Here's a good example of what I mean by spiritual senses. When you pray, it's critical to be spiritually alert so you don't miss how God responds. In other words, when you pray about something, you should stop long enough. The answer can come immediately. Hello? Does God answer prayer? Amen. Thomas, does God answer prayer? How many times did you and Jessica come to this altar and ask, what? Did y'all ask for one baby or two? Any. What does God do? He always likes to work in multiple ways. Yeah. Little boy had what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, is that right? Fed how many? Multiplication? 5,000 men? Yeah. And then some. I mean, God, did y'all know God knows how to multiply? Yeah. He knows math. Did y'all know that? Here's old Thomas. I tell Thomas, I said, well, you just make sure you stay close to Jesus and you keep praying. And Thomas said, I'm going to stay close to Jesus, preacher. And you know what? God hears and answers prayer. And the revelation is we get to be a part of this and see twins. Another set of, how many sets of twins? We got to be the third set of twins. God, you don't think God shows up? Spiritual senses are aware of God's presence. Every church body is equipped with spiritual senses. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Though many congregations have grown unaccustomed to using them, you want to know spiritual sense, then you need to understand how to operate in your spiritual gift. If every member of this church discovered their spiritual gift and operated in it, this whole church would be blessed. I mean, more than you know. By the way, I want to say this to you. When you are not operating with the gifts or the talents God's given you, it's not a blessing to the church, it's a burden. Because you're denying us of a blessing. You are. There's some of you that need to be in the choir and you're not. And you're thinking, well, preacher, you don't know me. I just don't like being in the choir. Well, what if God says, well, I just don't like this about you. I don't like, look, we've got to understand, we've got to have a spiritual sense. The spiritual sense that said, you know what? It's not based on my feelings, it's based on my faith. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to believe that God is with me. I want to know God's presence more. Then you need to beef up your spiritual senses. We need to be spiritual sponges and soak up all that God is telling us. The question is not whether God wants to reveal his purpose and plan for our lives. The question is not whether we've heard from God or not, because he's speaking whether we have heard from him or not. The question is, are you listening and obeying? Revelation 2:29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Adrian Rogers said it best. God's will is what you would want for yourself if you had sense enough to want it. Amen. That's pretty good. Let's increase our spiritual senses and our awareness. In 2018, what if we were so sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit that when someone said, this is the direction God's leading us as a church, we'd all jump up and say, amen. And by the way, if we're all following the same head, we're going to be going in the same direction. Amen. A church that's not working together, they're not loving one another, they're not on the same path, it's because they're not following the same head. There's only one head. Anything with two heads is a freak. There's only one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then spiritual steps. Now, these are all original words, so just, I don't know if you can find them anywhere, but they are original with me. Spiritual steps, Proverbs 3:6, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 30:21, I love this verse. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear his command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. In other words, I see a picture of a good shepherd, and he's leading his sheep, and he's saying, go that way, Ronnie. Go this way, Ronnie. Church, go that way. Go this way. And we've got enough spiritual senses that we're going to follow the Holy Spirit steps. Hello? Are y'all with me? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Henry Blackaby said it this way, anything of spiritual significance that happens in your life will be a result of God's activity in you. He is infinitely more concerned about your life and your relationship with him than you or I could possibly be. God is more concerned about what is best for you than you are. Did y'all hear that? God is more concerned about what is best for you. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. And that's why you're not seeing God's best. Just recognize the fact that God loves you more than you love you. Hello? And God wants the best for you. He said in his word, right here, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Folks, listen to me carefully. If we would understand who and what we are in Jesus Christ, if we understood that the presence of God abides in us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we would see the potential of God in us. And God can do a whole lot more than what you can do. What can He do through a willing vessel? D.L. Moody said, I will be that willing vessel. How about you? I wonder how many of us today would say, God, I want to be that person. I believe we ought to expect great things from God, and we ought to attempt great things from God. Amen? Expect great things. I like that part I dealt with, that we were going to live, anticipatory expectation. I like that. Anticipatory sounds pretty good. When you follow the Spirit, you'll never go wrong. Are y'all listening to me? We're getting to the invitation. We're almost done here. But I wonder, who's going to follow the Spirit today? It's easy to follow the flesh. You can stay on your pew and do nothing. Or you can step out and say, you know what? I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to take Him in His Word. Jesus never called anyone privately. He always called them publicly. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. I'm never going to be ashamed to take a Spirit step. I'm not. And I'll be honest with you, there are some times, and I grew up in a church like this. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. And I'll never forget Grandma McLaurin that sat over here on this pew, and Miss Balkwin that sat on that pew. And you know, I was sitting in the very back, and Brother Paul would be up there preaching. I was just a little boy. And Miss McLaurin, godly lady, in her 80s, every Sunday, about middle way in the sermon, Paul preaching, she'd get up and do a little dance like this every Sunday. And she'd do this a whole service. The whole time. And you know what? That was normal in that church because we knew she was in the presence of the Lord. And nobody ever talked about it. No one ever said anything about Miss McLaurin because we knew that she was a godly lady. And she had those old cloggers on. You could hear them. And she'd just shout. You say, preacher, that's not church. That is church. And you better never say anything about a little old lady jumping up praising God. Because that lady, she loved Jesus with all her heart. And no one ever questioned it. It was a normal thing to see in our church. I'm glad I grew up in a church like that. Then Miss Annie Balkwin. Now, I was sitting in the back, and I honestly thought as a little boy, she laughed during the whole service. I thought that lady's rude. But she would sit up front the whole service like this. She was crying. And I'll never forget the Sunday talking about God's presence. And I was about 13. I'll never forget this. Miss Annie Balkwin came up, and she couldn't kneel. She was an elderly lady, but she was blind. And the doctor told her that she'd never see again. And she came and she sat on the altar. I remember just like this. And I can feel the presence of the Lord just coming on me thinking about it. Because Miss Annie sat up there one Sunday and she was in her 80s. And Paul Jones came around her and anointed her eyes with oil. And she went back to the doctor. And this is the truth, or I'm not preaching behind this pulpit today. That lady had 20/20 vision. The Lord touched her and made her whole. That's who my God is. Now, I'm not giving you a false hope today. There's nothing that our God can't do. But you know, it comes down to this. Are you willing to let Him? Will you follow in His steps? Now, Miss Balkwin, she did. I mean, those two ladies were unusual ladies. I'll be honest. But you know, I loved it. That at Piney Grove Baptist Church, that was a normal thing every Sunday to see Miss Balkwin dancing. Miss Balkwin was the one crying. Miss McLaurin was the one dancing. The spiritual steps of following the Lord. You say, well, that's not in my comfort zone. God wants to get you out of your comfort zone so that He can work in and through you. And some of us are too comfortable. You say, well, I'll never dance before the Lord. Oh, really? You might be the very one that... Amen. I'm going to tell you, David. David danced before the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, you going to start dancing? No, I don't have no plans to. But if the God wanted to dance my feet, I'd dance. Amen. The spiritual steps of following the Lord. The question is, are we listening and obeying? And then... the last thing is seeking salvation. Let me tell you why God put this on my heart about what we're going to try to make our theme. And bless her heart, she left out the most important word. I thought, well, no, not all three of them are important. Praying, caring, sharing. Somehow that got cut off. Praying, caring, sharing. Here's the way the Lord's dealt with me about this. I have no right to witness to people. I don't have any right to tell someone about Jesus. Even those seeking salvation, unless I've prayed for them. I should pray for the souls of lost people. Are y'all listening? Because I really want you to focus on this. I want us to be a praying church. In 2018, I'd love to see this church. You say, well, preacher, hadn't we already increased our prayer? Oh, we've only skimmed the surface of what God can do. If we would start focusing on praying and then caring for that lost soul, let somebody know you genuinely care about their lost soul. You care that they're going to die and go to an eternal hell. Do you care about that? There are people dying right now going to an eternal hell. And as the psalmist said, no one cared for my soul. And then to be a sharing people, because the Bible says the blood is on our hands. Did you know that? Oh, the Bible teaches in Ezekiel, the blood is on our hands if we don't share this. So the question is, when it comes to revelation of the presence of God, that there are people seeking salvation. Where has your path taken you in 2017? Where is your path going in 2018? Whose path are you on? Yours? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Here is the revelation of God's presence. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. Salvation isn't about getting man into heaven. It's about getting God into man. It is about making dead man live again. It's about living for God and doing His will as opposed to the will of the world and the devil. And I'll tell you, we as Christians, we need to be saved every day from ourselves. We need to die to self and say no to me and yes to Him. You want to see the activity of God in your midst, then get serious, church, about praying. Get serious, church, about caring. And get serious, church, about sharing. And I promise you, look up here and I'm done. Folks, if we would get serious about seeking the presence of God, God would come and set in the midst of His people. But the fact is, we're much like the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Here's the truth, and I'm still knocking for this reason, because that's where God is in the church today. God's knocking at the door of the church. He really, you take that in context, read it for yourself, Revelation 3:20. Jesus is saying, I'm standing outside of the door of the church knocking. That's what he's saying. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I wonder if anybody has heard the voice of God today about opening up the doors of this church and let the King of Glory come in. Who is the King of Glory? Psalm 100 says, Jesus is the King of Glory. Would you let Him into your heart today? What will He do today if you open up the doors of your heart? I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll save your soul. You'll never, ever spend an eternity in hell. Thank God for a Savior, amen? And I believe with all my heart right here in this community, I really do believe this, or I wouldn't still be here. There are people seeking salvation. And that's the purpose, listen to me carefully, that's the purpose of this church, is to lead men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. The highest point on this campus is the steeple of this church. And on top of that steeple is a cross. Right there today, maybe this is the reason we lost the power to the screen, because we got to get our eyes back on that cross right there. Amen. And the cross tells me that God is very present. God became flesh. He became one of us. Jesus was born a virgin, sinless, so He could go to that cross as the perfect Lamb of God to take away your sin and mine. Now the doors are open. I've opened them as wide as I know to open them. He's standing at the door knocking at your heart. Will you let Him come in today? A lot of people do use that verse as a way, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, of pointing people to Jesus. But the context, and this is something we're going to get deep into this year. I promise you this. We're going to go deep in God's Word. In the proper context, it means that God is knocking on the door of the church, and God's saying, let me in. Now, who's going to let Him in? How many of you got a key to the church? Oh, all of you raise your hand. You all do. Most everybody in this church has a key to it. How many of you know how to open the door? I thought you did. You got in here pretty good. Will you open the door to let Jesus in? Amen? And what if Jesus came in here and sat down? Would we all run out? I'll tell you what I think we all ought to do. We ought to run over here to Him and love Him. That's why if the devil walks in here, the church walks out. Jesus walks in. We all to say, oh, that's why we're here. And He's here today. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's bow our head. Father, we so long for You. We're hungry for You. We thirst for You. Oh God, today I pray would be the day that we would throw open the doors of this church and say, oh King of Glory, come on in. Would You rule and would You reign here? Oh Father God, I want You to know as one of Your under-shepherds, I never want to get in the way. Never want to hinder You taking over this church. This is Your church. These are Your people. God, I've preached this last Sunday and I'll preach it again today. I never want these people to follow me. I just want them to follow Jesus. And I know, God, You'll never lead them wrong. You'll never lead them to do anything that would hurt Your kingdom's work. But You'll lead us all to paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And Your promise is, and all these other things will be added unto You. God, may we seek Your presence today. You are a powerful God. There's nothing You cannot do. There's not a sinner here You can't save. No sin is greater than Your grace. And God, there's not a need that You can't provide for. You are very much present with us. You are an all-powerful God, and Your provisions are wonderful. May we focus on the blessings of 2018 and not the problems, not the burdens, but the blessings. May this invitation be so real today, so it will bring You glory, that we would all bow down at Your presence. And we would say as a pastor, as deacons, as Sunday school teachers, as members of Gorge Springs Baptist Church, we want to swing the doors open wide, for we've heard the knock at the door that Jesus wants to live and abide in His house. Lord, would You just live through us? May You abide, may we abide in Your presence, is my prayer in Jesus' name.